You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith, episode 87.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Welcome to Small Business Talk. Today, my guest is Donna Bates, who is a growth strategist, and we're going to be talking about growth in any market. So welcome, Donna.
Hi, Kathy.
So tell us a little bit about what a growth strategist is, Donna.
A growth strategist. Okay, so really what I do is I'm a strategic planning consultant. But my area of expertise is in growth. I look at businesses or companies that are looking to grow or are actually currently outgrowing their structure, and they might be hitting some pain points, and then I work with them to either restructure their company or to change their structure so that they can grow exponentially. So it doesn't really matter what market they're in or what the economy is doing at the time. I work with those companies to continue to grow even in the difficult times.
Perfect. And I think that's a real opportunity that we have at the moment, because a lot of people have had time off with the pandemic and they've been able to assess their business. And some people are saying that's great and it's working well, and other people are saying, no, it's not. So what would be a few tips that you might have for the audience to think about how to grow the business if they're thinking of pivoting or changing slightly?
Awesome. I think the main thing to do is not necessarily to sit back and worry about where the money is coming from. And that's really hard to do when you're in an environment like we have had in the last few years. When the economy, you start hearing all the doom and gloom on the radio, the TV. I think sometimes not looking left and right and just sticking to your own game and playing your own game, looking at opportunities that are before you and how you personally and your business can shift, and using the expertise within your team if you've got one, or for yourself, looking at other opportunities that you can move into to grow sideways rather than, you know, having to just keep doing the same thing in a different way. I think that's been some of the best. I mean, people call it entrepreneurial, but you know, you don't need to be an entrepreneur to be able to shift and change your business either. It's really just staying the course and being consistent and thorough in what you're doing moving forward. And trying to look at innovative ways, or like doing things differently.
That's so true. And one thing I've heard quite recently, and it comes up from time to time, is looking at other industries and seeing what you can bring from that industry, which might be the norm, into your industry. And I think Uber and Airbnb have done that quite well. They've bought in things that weren't consistent with the taxi industry or the hotel industry, and made it a great thing for their industries, which now is becoming the norm. The taxis are now letting you pay on demand and not having to pay at the cab as you get out, and having the apps to see where the cab is and how long it's going to take, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
So I think that's great bringing in from other areas. Would you agree?
Yeah, totally. I totally agree with that. And also looking at different ways of distribution channels. I think some of the hardest hit industries were hospitality, catering, restaurateurs, you know, those industries. And I think we've seen some of the greatest innovations in that space, because people still want their product, but it's how you get the products. And those with an entrepreneurial spirit have gone, that's okay, we'll just find a way around this. And how do we get our product into our customers' hands? I saw one example, which I just loved this particular company in the way that they pivoted, as you're saying. And what they did was they had a very successful catering company. And over time, they realized that during the pandemic, they couldn't do things the way that they used to do. And so they went into home cooked meals and started an entirely new industry for themselves. And instead of having to put people off, they were putting people on. That was an amazing example of sort of what we're talking about today. But I've seen that replicate in a lot of markets, like what you're talking about. Doesn't matter if you're a big firm or if you're a small company or a solopreneur. It doesn't really matter. It's just you have to look at your market and look for other opportunities available to you. And it might even be partnering with someone else. One of the things I talk with some of my clients about is, okay, who do we know that we can leverage you working with that company to get your product out on their shelves or in their market or their distribution channels, and how we're going to work with that. That's another way.
Well, yeah, definitely. And doing the partnership can be in value add to both of you. If you've got the same audience as them, but you're not competing, then it might be a case of their product going out to your audience as a value add, or vice versa. Have you got an example you could tell us of something like that?
I think one of them was a gym who had obviously had to close, but is now open, you know, in this particular market. But they also then went digital and went online, were doing training online, and they've decided to actually keep that going so that in the event of the market shifting or changing, or, you know, the market conditions adjusting again, that they'll be able to just continue that online. The company I was mentioning to you about the catering and doing the home cooked meals, we worked together and collaborated and came up with a line of meals that were for the trainers, but then also for the customers. So when they went online and ordered their trainer and their PT session, they could then order the meals that were already planned out for them for that next month. It actually was a really great example of collaboration. And also both businesses grew during that time, which was fantastic.
What a fabulous idea, because with the gyms closing, then people started eating more because they weren't really that comfortable with situations, stress, etc., and not knowing what foods to prepare.
Yes.
So having that kit or box or whatever delivered, and then the ingredients list and the recipes, what a wonderful idea. And of course, with the gym, then that gives those people the opportunity if they're on holidays to still participate, which means that the gym's still getting their revenue as opposed to people putting their memberships on hold if they go on holidays for too long because they can't access it.
Absolutely.
So what a wonderful collaboration.
Yeah, it was great.
That is brilliant. Okay, so what other advice would you give? So we're talking about looking at growing under any market. So where would we be looking at doing that?
I think one of the biggest things is to also sit back and just be real about what can you do at this particular time. So it's almost drawing a line in the sand to saying, what do we do best? Where do we need to be in 5 years' time? What do we want to do to, because things happen ongoing in our lives and our careers. There's always going to be something that comes up. And it's how we deal with that. So one of the things I talk with a lot of my clients about is having a business interruption recovery plan, as well as having a strategic plan. So you've always got your vision-based plan, but you need to have those backups that in the event of something going wrong, like I had a lady whose business, their office got flooded, and they had to transform, like within 2 days, the way that they're currently doing business because there was no way of people to be able to come into the office or out of the office, or they had teams that were remote and they couldn't get access. They put in place their business interruption recovery plan, then pivoted their business while they were doing that, so there was no loss of continuity. And then they were able to think proactively using that time rather than reactively in a crisis mode. So I think having that planning in place, but also a structure that will get you to where you need to be long term, and that you've always got that backup plan no matter what you're doing. You know, it might be an idea that you've had for a long time that you can then start going, look, you know, we'll bring that plan forward and we'll put that into plan now, or into action now. And that's, I think, one of the most exciting things about what's happening at the moment, is that you're seeing people be very proactive in that space to say, I don't want to get stuck in what I've always done. I want to be able to try something new. And how do I create that in this moment?
For sure. We've seen that a lot with people that were doing live events, and they've been talking about going online and thinking about what they were going to do with that. And suddenly within a couple of weeks, a couple of months, they now have a whole membership program and a whole way to run out their seminars. So I think that necessity sometimes is the mother of invention.
Absolutely.
And it makes it happen really quickly. The other thing, of course, people are doing is that they're realizing that they don't need to work 7 days a week anymore. And by shortening their hours and giving better quality, they can quite often actually make more revenue.
Definitely. I think that's one of the things also, is that having that time or the ability to look at your business, where you're going. And that's something that isn't just the way that the market is at the moment. I always make that as a suggestion to people. Take time throughout your year, whether it's a weekend that you get away, or just some time where you're able to close the doors, lock the kids in another room for a bit, and just take the time to really assess what's happening in your business, what's happening in your family, where is it you want to go. If you don't have family, then looking at where do I want to be in my life, and then continually resetting every year to that point and then saying, am I getting further to or further away from my growth goal? Because sometimes we've talked previously about, you know, when you're talking about things going down the rabbit hole, that can happen for you in a growth strategy as well. So you can create a plan, you get hit with an opportunity and you go, okay, cool, I'm going to go down this way. And it's actually getting you further away from your growth, original growth plan. And it's being really conscious of what opportunities to let go and what opportunities to hold onto and keep moving forwards. It's being able to say no sometimes in those environments as well.
Yes, and I think that gives you a great opportunity to say, yes, that fits into my plan, or no, it doesn't. And it might be an absolutely fabulous opportunity, but it's not for you, or it's not the right time. And then also, if you have several opportunities at once, you can say, does this fit my growth plan or does it not? And if they do, then maybe that is somewhere to go. If they don't, then you know that's a hard no straight away, and it makes those decisions so much easier.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've talked about growth plans a little bit. So what would that look like for most people?
Well, a growth plan is really a strategic plan, but it's that next level. So it's looking at, where do I want to be in this next evolution of myself, my business, my company, and also where do I want to sit in the marketplace? Because a lot of times people can be a business leader or be a leader in their community, but their business is not necessarily in that same league as sort of their own persona or where they're going. Vice versa, the business could be, but for themselves as being an influencer in that space, there may be a disconnect. So from a growth perspective, it's always really good to look at yourself and your business as a whole, particularly as your brand personality, and looking at that, and be able to look at where you want to be as yourself, as your family, financially, and then across the spectrum in terms of the growth of your company. So how do you want your company to grow? The interesting thing, what I've noticed, is we've actually had to ungrow some companies to now regrow in the new market. And I think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's actually exciting to be able to sit back and go, you know what, right now we don't have the right structure in place. So we need to let go of some of the things that we've been doing. And what has been so exciting about that, working with those companies in that growth space, we've been able to then focus on the things that actually do have very high income producing activity, focus on that. And then we've culled a lot of the excess. So we've been able to focus and create new alignment within their teams. And for solopreneurs, some of it's actually changing industry completely, which has been really, I think, for them quite cathartic, because they haven't really enjoyed the industry they're working in. They've followed a passion. We created a new plan for them moving forward, and they've actually created a new business opportunity and have started following that. And I think not being afraid to make those choices, no matter where you are in your life stage, because some of these changes that I'm talking about, I've had clients that are in their 50s, 60s, 70s that are actually making these changes later on in life as well, as to the clients I've got in their early 30s. So it shouldn't matter age or where you're sitting in your life stage.
Wow, that's exciting. And that's sometimes the case, isn't it? As life moves on and different opportunities come, then you can grow. And sometimes it is a case you need to pull back to grow. I was talking to a client of mine yesterday who has several businesses, and one of them is an accounting firm. And he was in there working day in, day out, doing the hard yards. His adult son had been to university. While he was at university, he came in and started working there part-time. And his father had said, okay, if you can do this in this three-month period, I'll be happy and you can stay as part of your job while you're going to uni. Well, this young man had actually done that first job that was supposed to take 3 months in 1 month, then the next job that was supposed to take 6 months in 1 month. And then his father said, oh, I think he's got a knack for this. And what transpired was eventually the boy who became the man took over the business. And that's why this client now has several businesses, because it was just something he was passionate about. But his son was so much better at working at it because, like you say, the persona of the owner and the business just wasn't quite in alignment. He was working in the community. He was out there getting the business known. But while he was doing that, he couldn't work in the business.
Yes.
So by having somebody else working in the business, he was able to still do all of that networking and community and bringing in the clients while his son actually ran the business. And it turned out to be a great collaboration for both of them. And the original owner, he now doesn't work as much and they're making a lot more money.
Yeah, that's a great story. That's exactly what I'm talking about for sure. Because I think what happens, particularly when you're growing from one person to two or three people in your business, I think it's the hardest thing to do when you're growing is to be able to let go of control. And a lot of business owners, particularly when you're growing, even from two people to four people or six people, it's then your business starts to take on a different shift and there'll be different growth strategies depending upon where your business is in the life cycle. So in those early few years, we'll have a growth strategy, which is highly dependent on you as an individual business owner, what's happening in your world. And then as you grow and you get more staff, you know, how do we manage those staff? What are their areas of expertise? What are their hot buttons? What makes them work the best in that environment? And when you are in that place of pivoting, it's how do you then make sure that you've got the right team behind you to be able to step into that greatness, into that new business? So that was a great opportunity, what you're talking about, for someone who's seen that in their own business and their own family to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that people don't realise is that there are life cycles of businesses. So they do almost like the waves. They come in and they go out. So you'll be in growth for a while and then you will settle down a bit and then you'll get the next opportunity and you'll grow again. And that growing, like you say, might actually be changing the team or pulling back things because you've grown so fast and you don't now have the systems to be able to support that. So it might be a case of, okay, we've got to slow down on the sales so that we can get the systems better so that we can then have the customer service working really well. On one of our previous episodes, we were talking to Dr. Bruno and he was talking about the people part of the business that quite often we forget about. And having those systems in place so that we do have really good customer service in that growth area is so important.
Absolutely. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about is putting those frameworks in place. So you'll have a particular framework for you as yourself as a business owner. And then as you grow, your frameworks will continue to adjust and morph and shift as you then step up to the next level. So a business that's at, say, $100,000 turnover to a business at $5 million turnover is a very different looking organization. And also when you're trying to grow in an economy where the business is actually growing faster than you do. And sometimes you've got to let go of that control I was talking before, but also being able to say, who do I need to bring into my business as an advisor or someone as a trusted partner that I can work with that has those skills that I may not have in my business at the moment? And I think being able to be open to that and have those conversations to then plan your business for the next evolution. And you'll have different advisors at different times of your career or your business structure as well. You may not want to be a $100 million business, but your business fact of where you're at in the marketplace, it may grow to that without you even needing to try. It might just be the product that you have or the service that you're providing is something so significant that you're going to need to bring on investors and that kind of thing as well. So having a really good advisory set around you of trusted people that can help you get to where you need to go, that is definitely an important part of creating that structure, policies, procedures, guidelines, that kind of thing as well. Great HR policies, really awesome IT. And if you don't have the ability to bring people on in your own business, look at how you can outsource. So using trusted companies within your area or looking overseas for outsourcing as well.
Yes, and that we've seen a lot with the pandemic is that some businesses really growing through this. And of course, sometimes that brings in conflict because the business owners are then struggling with the fact that they've grown when other people are not. So sometimes you do need that external counsel just to say, you're not doing anything wrong. You are actually filling a need. And as long as you're doing that in a purposeful, genuine, authentic way, then that's an absolutely fine thing to do. So when that you've got that massive growth in that short amount of time, those standard operating procedures are so very important. And if that's not in your skill set, then you will definitely need to bring in either a consultant or sometimes it's a case of buying a system.
Yes.
Or there's lots of many, many other ways to be able to fill that gap.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, wonderful. So is there anything else that we should be looking at as maybe an advantage or a disadvantage for growth that you see people making mistakes in?
I think it's definitely knowing when you don't know what you don't know.
That's a hard one.
I think it's really hard because when you're so busy, you're actually an expert in your own business. And particularly if you're making money in your business and you are growing, that sometimes when you've got someone else coming in as an advisor to give you the advice that you've paid them to do, taking it sometimes is really hard. And being able to step back and go, they know where to take me to that next level because I've never been there before. I've never stepped into that space. So I need to trust that when we create this plan, that they're going to help me to implement that to get me where I need to go. And I think there's quite a level of trust around that as well. So if that is an issue, then you need to find an advisor that you can trust in that space and that you can work with really closely to help you get to where you need to go. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of growth businesses that don't actually have a strategy. So they're just, you know, moving forward, but don't necessarily have their blueprint of how they're going to get to that next thing. So getting a plan in place is actually an important thing, and setting that intention of knowing where you're going to be, because you need to know where you want to end up, because you can't build the plan out or implement it effectively if you don't know, you know, where to focus your energy. Getting the sales increase, you may have this massive amount of sales, but then also not wanting to spend the money on those services that can help support you in building that out. When you do get a really good cash flow, it's always important to reinvest that money back into your growth strategy to look at, okay, we're growing exponentially, but okay, how can we help build the framework so that we can then go to the next evolution of where we need to be as a company or as a business?
Yes, and especially when you do have that exponential growth, you need to be looking at your people as well and looking at how you can support them. So it may be a case of they're now overloaded trying to fulfill that sales. So you really do need to look at that. And especially if you're getting that cash flow increase and then you're not putting some money back into the business, you'll find that you'll probably end up losing good people because they are overloaded, because they can see you spending money on things that are possibly not helping the whole business, which is okay. But then you need to be careful that you're not alienating your own people because they're working way too many hours, because now you really should have two people to be fulfilling that job. So I think that's a really important thing too. So one thing you said about was trusting your advisors. And of course, like anything, there's advisors. So what would be a good thing to be looking out for if you've decided that you do need to go down the road of getting an advisor? Is there a few things that you could sort of suggest that people should be thinking about? Obviously, personality is important. You need to be able to like that person, trust that person, work with that person. But what tips could you give people when they're actually looking for an advisor?
Sure. I think one of the key things for me is I make sure that I go and have a look at their LinkedIn profile, but I also go and talk to people who they've worked with before. An advisor who is a trusted advisor will not care that you go and speak to previous clients or ask for referrals. You know, can I please speak to someone who you've worked with before? They're very open to be able to share their knowledge and information around that. And I think you'll find then that you'll get a very balanced view. If you have an advisor that they don't want to put you in touch with somebody, or, you know, oh, I don't want to share any information about people I've done before, worked with before, and they try and manipulate that conversation, they're sort of probably not the best people for you.
Red flag.
Yeah, it's definitely red flag. So that open, honest, you mentioned it before, authenticity in that space for sure. But also that you'll find birds of a feather flock together. So you'll often find that you'll have a trusted advisor that might be like a growth strategist or strategic planner that works with an accountant who works with a, you know, and often they'll work together in little groups because they want to do the best by you and by your company. It's not about a numbers game of getting people through their funnel and you know, smushing them through. So you don't want an advisor where you become a number. You want an advisor where they're part of your team and vice versa. So you're actually getting the results you want.
And of course, also speaking to other business colleagues, seeing who they've used or suggestions. And remember, of course, this is a personal thing. So just because Donna thinks that XYZ is absolutely fabulous doesn't necessarily mean that XYZ is going to work for me. We're actually quite similar, so it probably would. But just be aware that just because somebody thinks that somebody is perfect and you don't, well, go with your gut instinct and then look for somebody else as well. And sometimes it can be a case of you need different people in different stages. So if you're asking someone who's a lot further ahead in business than you are, they're going to suggest some people that might not be ready for you, Or conversely, if you're asking somebody who's not as far along the journey as you are, then their advisors would be different.
I completely agree with that. And I think if you are in the startup space, then look for the free support services available for the Small Business Development Commission. They've got some amazing programs. There's niche programs that come through from the federal government that are through organisations like here at the Lab Factory and other places as well, and that you can connect in that don't cost a lot of money. But if that's a point where funds are lacking, it's a great way to get amazing resources for free. And then if you are in a position where you do have the funds available and you are able to invest, just do your homework and find someone that, as you've mentioned, you're very comfortable with, and also that they have a good track record. So show me some examples of where you've done this before.
Yes. And for our overseas audiences, those are particularly West Australian-based programs and Australian-based programs. But your local shire council and government will have something similar. Also, sometimes networking groups will have free or low-cost trainings that might be something you can tap into as well. Well, this has been great, Donna. Like most of my guests, we could sit and chat forever. But shall we get to the final five questions?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, what is the best advice you have been given to by a mentor?
Oh, wow. Okay. My number one piece of advice is your business will only grow as fast as you do.
Perfect. What is the biggest help you've received since starting your business?
I think someone making connection for me to speak to someone who I wanted to work with. It was nice having that someone making that connection with me and for me, which is great as a champion.
So having that warm, hot referral. And yeah, championing you as well made all the difference. What is the one thing you have to do every day you're non-negotiable?
Every day I have to do prayer and meditation first thing in the morning. Always make sure that even if I've got a day off, that I do that every single day. And I have a gratitude diary. So always make sure that I do gratitude every single day because I find that everything we have is a blessing. I love getting up every day and also making sure that even in times where I'm on holidays, I'll still make sure that I put my face on, I'm dressed really well, and then, you know, I just feel really great stepping into the day. Yeah.
Perfect. What is your favourite business book and why?
Oh my gosh, that's a tough one.
You can have two.
I can have two. Okay, great. I love Simon Sinek's Start With Your Why. I think that was groundbreaking at its time. You know, it's nearly 10, 11 something years old now, but that's been amazing. And I love what he writes in that. And I think also Vern Harnish wrote a book called Scaling Up. And I really love that book. It put a lot of context to what I did in corporate because I was working in corporate for 25 odd years. And when I stepped into my own consultancy, I had a way of working. And when I read his book, I was ticking things off going, that's totally how I work. I love that. And that's a really great book if you're looking at doing things like scaling up your business.
Wonderful. And that's a new one. We haven't had that one before. We've heard Simon Sinek's Why several times, but Scaling Up by Vern Harnish, that is a great one. So we'll add that to the show notes. What do you wish you had known when you first started out?
Oh my gosh. I definitely would love to have someone to have shared what I've shared with you today about advisors, because I took a lot of advice from a lot of people very early on and spent a lot of money. Now I look back and some were sharks. So I think I learned from those experiences that they took a lot of money, but I didn't necessarily get anything back in terms of the advisory services that I'd paid for. And some that I could tell the difference. I grew and my business grew from being in partnership with them, and the money that I spent on that definitely did help me and help my business. That was definitely one thing that I learned from in the very early days. And that's why I always share that message out with other people, because I've learned the hard way that, you know, money is precious when you step into your own business. And even if you do have a little pot of cash that you use to be able to build your business, you want to know that it's going to build growth straight away and make sure it's going to the right people.
Perfect. And I think with advisors, it's accountability too.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can do all sorts of courses and you can do all sorts of one-on-one coaching. But if they don't have some skin in the game themselves, so that therefore they're not going to be paid if you don't actually achieve. Now, obviously, there's a fine line there. You've got to do the work and so forth.
Yes.
But if they don't have any kind of accountability over that money, that's sometimes where you can come unstuck.
Yes, totally agree.
Fantastic, Donna. Well, this has been absolutely wonderful. So if people would like to know more about Donna Bates as a growth strategist or would like to get in contact with you, where's the best place to go?
Either on Facebook at On Point Strategy or at www.onpointstrategy.com.au.
Thank you very much, Donna.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.